Genesis 24. I'm about to read several scriptures to you tonight about a life of contemplation of God, His Word, and His Son. Look at verse 3. Abraham says to his servant, I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou wilt not take a wife for my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. And I think most of us are familiar with the sending forth of the servant, the successful finding of Rebecca, and Rebecca is willing to come back and have Isaac as her husband. So now look at verse 61. And Rebecca arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebecca and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of Beer Lehi Roy, for he dwelt in the land of the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, there were camels coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she alighted from the camel. And she said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant said, It is my master. And she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother. Notice that. Verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. Now, look at Psalm 48. Verse 8. As we have heard, so have we seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. We have thought on thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. As is thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Verse 9, we have thought on thy loving kindness, O God. Now, Psalm 63. Verse 1, O God, thou art my God, earnestly will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and weary land where no water is. So have I looked upon thee in the sanctuary, to see thy power and thy glory. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. So will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. For thou hast been my help, and in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Notice, when I remember and meditate on thee in the night watches. And Psalm 143. verse 5. I've read you verses containing one of these words, but now look at verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy doings. I muse on the work of thy hands. Remembering, meditating, musing, thinking, remembering. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for the varied occupations thou dost give to the sons of men in this life until we arrive in heaven and have that eternal occupation. We are thankful that the lines have fallen unto us in pleasant places. We are glad we have a goodly heritage. We rejoice in thee, our God. And we are happy that we can be here tonight. Let us know that some are unconcerned. Perhaps their conscience is not convicted about forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But we know that there are some who are sick, who would be here, but they are not able. And for those we especially pray, our Father, work upon the souls of some. You need to work upon the bodies of others. But whatever thy will is for their lives, let them enjoy thee, our God, in life, in death, and in hope of the world to come. We thank you for the day, for the joy that has been ours, to remember thy Son, to hear the word, to fellowship with one another. We thank you, our Father, for all of these good things. They come from thee. Every good and every perfect gift, it cometh from thee. We acknowledge it, our God. And so tonight, again, thy people need food from the word of God, and that is what we desire to do for them, our God. So bless thy people, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse, and empower and prepare hearts, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I said the message was about a life of contemplation of God, His Word, His Son, His ways, or, as it's found in Luke 24, the things concerning Himself. As the Savior said, the Spirit of God would take of mine and reveal them unto you. And we sing that song, more, more about Jesus. More about the Father, more about the Son, more about the Spirit of God. All of these things, a life of contemplation. Yet, such a life is so precious to some that especially those of a specific religion have monasteries and they dedicate their lives to a life of contemplation and worship and adoration. Who can fault such a decision? Except for this. In the portions that I read, we discover that some in this life of contemplation were not in a religious building, a monastery, not in a religious atmosphere at all, but they were out in the field. So a life of contemplation for God is meant to be not cloistered, not shut out from the world, having nothing to do with the world, but shutting the world by an act of the will from entering into our souls. Because the Lord Jesus said this, Father, I do not pray that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from evil. From the evil one. And so some, to make sure that they keep from evil, put themselves in a building of stone and of wood. But there has never been any building made that can keep evil thoughts from entering into your heart, no matter where you are. And so the Lord Jesus simply prays this, Father, do not take them out of the world, but in the world, keep them from evil. Now, there are times and there are places that we go and the world is shut out. The Lord Jesus spoke about that this morning. I read it to you. It says, when you pray, enter into your closet and shut the door. That's a good cloister. A closet and shut the door. The Lord Jesus is speaking about ordinary people. But there was one who spent a lifetime of contemplation, of adoration of God, but not in a monastery, but in the temple of God, and her name was Anna. It said that she had lived 7 years with her husband, and at the very earliest, 14 or 16, she would be married. 7 years, let's say she was 21, and she had been widowed for 84 years. So here is a woman who for 84 years as a widow, having had a married life for such a brief period of time in her youth, the rest of her life was spent in the temple of God, worshiping, praising, thanking God. Her whole life was occupied with God. And we said, that's a strange thing. That's a strange life. Yes, for some, except those who understand about such a life. And I hope that you and I, on occasions, enjoy for a little while such a life, because this woman's whole life is occupied with that. And in the coming day, all of our lives shall be occupied with contemplation, with adoration, with worship, with simply God. As the Apostle Paul said, to me, to live is Christ. Life is Christ. So, whether it's a life of service or whether in prison it is a life of contemplation, it is simply God. The world, why, we happen to be here until Christ comes for us and we go to Him. But our life is to be one of contemplation. But it is rare and people are unable to get quiet and still and alone with God, away from everything else, by the simple expedient of saying, excuse me, and you go into your closet and shut the door. Some would say, I could not be so rude to my friends. I see. Could you be so rude to your God? As the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And I remember this, that when God himself visited Abraham, that Abraham was eager to entertain God, but then visitors come, and we are more eager to entertain the visitors than to be faithful to God. But there are times when we must excuse ourselves, when we must, as it says in 1 Corinthians 7, even separate ourselves from those that we love, our husbands and our wives, that we may give ourselves to time with God. And such things are so strange. And what is strangest of all, because you and I, who gather to the name of the Lord, are those who have a special meeting of contemplation, of meditation. It is a remembrance meeting. And even those that faithfully come here find it strange, and they are uncomfortable, and they do not know what to do if there are silences and nobody is speaking, or we are not singing, or nothing is happening. If there is stillness, and I mean a devout, reverent stillness, and a quietness, and an occupation with God, they are restless. They feel uncomfortable. Why? Because they know nothing about Psalm 48, Psalm 63, Genesis 24, Luke chapter 2, they know nothing about those things. And so, they can come to a religious service, and if the preacher is filled with energy, and if you have a good musical program, and if you have a master of ceremonies that can tell jokes and keep you amused, yes, I like that kind of service, you see. That's what I like. But to come in obedience to the Savior, this do, in remembrance of me, and you have nothing but Christ, then I'm uncomfortable. I get nothing out of that meeting. Do you not understand that you have exposed yourself as barren, as shallow, as one who is devoid of something that is most precious? Because some say this, whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. There are some who can say, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. I shall be satisfied when I awake, bearing thy form. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. But, as it says concerning Lot, warning because he had been warned of God, when the ways of God were made known to his sons-in-law, it says, why, he seemed as if he were mocking. And making known the law of God, it says in the book of Hosea, they are accounted a strange thing unto him. So a way to examine the depth of your soul and your weight, because the Bible speaks about the weight of people, it says in the balances, instead of being weighty and going down, in the balances they shall go up. And if you weigh a Christian soul, you would find that so many of them would immediately go up. Why? Because there is nothing of weight to them. But God wants that. But it's not true of all of us. And what we have to do is to cultivate. What we have to do is, as it says in Hebrews 5, concerning the Word of God and grasping the Scriptures, it speaks about that solid food, meat, is for those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So, I would not expect you to be able to meditate as long as some, to be like Anna at the first. I remember on one occasion, I was visiting a man that was called a hermit with some friends, and they introduced me to the man, and the man was talking to me, and he said, would you like to come and pray with me? And as I recall it, the man that brought me over and his wife, they called me to the side and said, don't do it. You'll be there for hours. It was nothing to him. He said, would you come and pray with me? And so there are times when you pray for hours, but there are times when you pray briefly, and you have to learn that. Some people do not understand about brevity. There are some with the Sunday school, if they're asked to pray, they might go on and on and on, and the children are restless and moving around. They don't understand that anything is wrong. And in like manner, others have prayers before other services, and they go on and on, and people get restless. They have no discernment in that respect. Now, if you want to spend hours in the presence of God, that's fine. It says that the Lord Jesus alone spent all night in prayer to God. But it would be strange if I said, would you like to pray with me? And I bring you to my house, and we pray and pray, and your wife is waiting, and I'm intending to pray all night. You would say, that would be rather strange indeed. So use intelligence in these things. But as you cultivate communion with God, a life of contemplation, then it can grow longer. And it's not a burden. It's like keeping the commandments of God, as it says in 1 John 5. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. That's good. If you keep his commandments, there are some, as in the book of Malachi, what a weariness it is. And there are others that keep his commandments, as John, and they can say, and his commandments are not grievous. As the Lord Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. So it should be that when a time comes that we can be away from even those that we love most and can enter into our closet and shut the door, it should be a choice time of the day, one that should not be taken from us, that we insist it is ours. You do not inconvenience others, but if you have that time, then you insist that this time be given to God. This is his portion. Let it not be taken away from you. Just as Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus, that would be taken away from her. The Lord Jesus said, it is not going to be taken away from her. And if there is such a thing as prayer and communion and meditation and thinking about God, then let not that portion be taken away from you. It's one of the most precious portions. And I read to you from three scriptures, there could have been many more, and various words, and the words were these, to remember, to think, to meditate, to muse, to consider. You say they're similar words. Yes, and looking up all of the occurrences in the Hebrew, even though they are different words, yet the concept is similar. And strange to say, if you saw me talking to myself, muttering, murmuring, that is the concept of thinking, meditating. What is happening? Thoughts are coming to your mind, and you are speaking those thoughts as they come to your mind. So at times, people see you, and they are talking. Look at that person, he's talking to himself. Well, many times you may see me talking, but it may not be to myself. It may be that I'm talking to God, and it may be that I'm meditating upon God, or it may be that there's something my wife told me to do, and I'm just repeating that so I won't forget it, you see. So it's not always a person that's spiritual that's talking to himself. It seems strange to others, but at the same time, do not be like Eli, who looked upon Hannah and said, "Why, that woman is drunk. Look at her over there. Why, she's moving her lips. She's drunk." And Hannah was pouring out her soul to God. So some of the things that seem strange to you, if you had practiced those same things, you would say, "Well, that person is meditating upon his God. His heart is in the sanctuary, and he's thinking of the things of his God." And the portions that I read to you tell us about some who know what it is to meditate, to think, to remember, to muse. And all I would do is to tell you about such thoughts, about such occupations, and I would tell you, first of all, about Isaac, because he's the one who does the meditating, and what is so delightful about it, it was in the course of his everyday life. Now, in the book of Genesis, before sin entered into the world, it says that God came to our parents in the garden in the cool of the day. And so here is Isaac, after the end of the day, at eventide, and he goes out into the field where he can be alone, away from the activities, the responsibilities of life. It says he went out into the field to meditate. That's a lovely thing. I remember years ago in my youth, when I was first saved, I would meditate. I would go for a walk, and I would walk, and I would find a spot that was away from others, and I would pray and meditate upon God. So do not think that you have to be in a religious environment to do this meditating, because it said that Isaac, at eventide, there was the time, went out into the field to meditate. Now, it does not tell us what he was meditating about, but we can imagine. Isaac's mother had lived until he was 37 years old, and Isaac had his heart broken when his mother died. And he is a man, 37, and he wants a wife, but his father, Abraham, has not seen fit until this time to secure for him a wife. And so from 37 until he is 40 years of age, he has been without his mother, and he has been without a wife. And no doubt, Abraham has told him all the promises of God that were made to him from Genesis 12 on, the exceeding great and precious promises, how that from me, son, and you, there shall be a great nation as the stars of the heaven for multitude. He's going to give us a land that is not our own. All of these things. And so Isaac could go out into the field in the evening and think about the promises that God had made to him He could meditate upon the goodness of God, that he is even in existence. Son, God told me that I was going to have a child, and I waited 25 years until I was 100 years of age, and then you were born. He could think of that, and then think about the promises of God, the future for him, the land. It's going to be ours, all of these things. And he could meditate upon what God had done in the past, about the promises of God for the future, about the goodness of God, about the nature of God as revealed to his father Abraham that he had told him. All of these things he could meditate on in the cool of the evening. And no doubt he would be meditating upon this wife that his father had sent the servant away to bring to him. No doubt that occupied his meditation as well. And this is what is so beautiful, to be meditating upon the future and then to look and see the realization of that for which you have meditated coming towards you. And then it is no longer meditation, but it is realization. And you are nearer to the fulfillment of the promises of God. How? If Abraham had no child, could God's promises be fulfilled? And if Isaac had no wife, how could the promises of God be fulfilled? But now, the promises of God are nearer to fulfillment. And so here is Isaac, and he goes out into the field to meditate in the cool of the evening, in the eventide. So meditation is an excellent thing. I will mention that, and I will pass on now and tell you about Psalm 48, verse 9. I thought about it so often. We come to a remembrance meeting, and at times there is a silence of death and of barrenness. Remember that, and I am ashamed to say it. But at times, at a remembrance meeting, there was a silence of reverence and contemplation and the glory of God. And it's a thing most precious. There was nothing more painful than those periods of death and barrenness, and we're without excuse before God. We have to come, every one of us, with a basket full. But at the same time, it may be that some brother whose heart had been filled with good things had risen to his feet and had worshipped his God. And just as when Mary had a box of alabaster ointment for the Lord alone, it was opened and lavished upon the Lord. And John says this, it was she who gave it. It was the Lord to whom she gave it. But he said, the room was filled with the odor of the ointment. And that is what happens. Someone comes and they lavish their worship upon the Lord Jesus. And it's for him. And it is he who worships the Lord Jesus. But it says that the room was filled with the odor of the ointment, and also the fragrance and the preciousness of that prayer that was prompted by the Spirit of God fills the room. And at times, I have sorrowed when another brother got up and intruded on that silence, as at other times, I have been grieved when there was a silence and no one would rise and praise his God. And there has to be discernment before we can distinguish between the two. But if there is that silence, and a portion has been given, and if a prayer has been given, and the Lord Jesus is exalted, we are silently thinking of him and the words that have been spoken. Do not interrupt that silence, but let there be silence, not speech. But as it says in Psalm 48, we have felt on thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. Not singing praises, not speaking praises, but thinking. And we think in silence. We have felt on thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. So, that is what is so strange to some. I know that there have been energetic servants of God who have been brought to a remembrance meeting, and they're so out of place. They're so embarrassed. They do not know what to do with themselves. Why? Because they know nothing about contemplation. They know nothing about sitting quietly and thinking on the loving kindness of God with the people of God. And that is the second point. There are times when we enter into our closet and shut the door. We are alone. We go out into the field by ourselves. We are alone. But in Psalm 48, it says, "We have thought on thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple." So now it is not singular, but it is in the plural. And here is one of the sons of Korah with other of the sons of Korah and other Israelites meeting together in the temple at a specified time. What is it? The morning sacrifice? The evening sacrifice? Some special occasion? They are in the temple of God, and they are thinking of the loving kindness of God. And that is like unto ourselves when we meet in a building with other people, and together we think on the loving kindness of our God. And that is what we should excel, that is what we should be able to do, and that is why the remembrance meeting should be a most precious time, one to which we look forward to coming, because there is no other meeting like it. I trust that when you invite me, I'm going to feed God's lamb and sheep. But at the same time, at a remembrance meeting, it is not a time for you to be fed. It is a time for the Lord Jesus to be remembered. And if food does come your way, it is some portion that should bring to our remembrance the Lord Jesus. He shall take the things of mine and bring them unto you. But some never see that. Now, if as in the early church, we came together and we were going to stay hours and hours and hours, of course, there would be times for wrong portions of the word, exhortations, teachings, prophecies, all of those things. But inasmuch as we have set an hour for this meeting and an hour for this meeting, and in the evening an hour for this meeting, then in our wisdom, I would trust, it is a time for teaching. It is a time for preaching. It is a time for meditating. And so, if it's in Psalm 48, a time of thinking on the loving kindness of God, then it is a time of collective meditation. And if a brother stands and brings to our attention through his prayer, through a portion of the Word of God, something that makes us think on the loving kindness of God, then that is good. It is conducive to remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, I suggested that Isaac was meditating on, I do not know what he was meditating on, but perhaps the things I suggested were not far afield. But in Psalm 48, it is not that at all. It is not that we are left in any doubt. It says, "We have thought on thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple." Now, perhaps this was a special occasion. If you read the whole psalm, you will find that the armies were gathering against Israel, perhaps Sennacherib, the Assyrians, those that we read about when Hezekiah and Isaiah and other pious Israelites went before the God, their God, and laid before him the great peril in which they found themselves. And all the kings were gathered, but then it says that God came and marvelously delivered them. And after such a deliverance, it says that the people of God, in the temple of God, thought on the loving kindness. We have thought on thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of the temple. And that is an excellent thing to do. So think of specific instances in your life when God's loving kindness has blessed your soul. That is a wonderful thing to do. And it says this, notice, "As is thy name, so is thy praise. As we have been told, so it is true concerning you. As thy name is, so is thy praise." What God is supposed to be, he says, you are. "And as we have heard, so are you our God. We've heard of the great things of God in the past, how God destroyed Pharaoh. And now, here is this Assyrian army coming to destroy us. And as we have heard about you and your glorious doings in the past, so now, as we have heard, so we have seen, O God. And now, in the temple, we are thinking on thy loving kindness, O God. And that is a wonderful thing to do. Which brings me to this. Psalm 103. It says, we have thought, and it speaks also about, we have remembered thy name, O God, in the temple, in the tabernacle. And so there is remembering. And if there is remembering, there is that opposite. And this is what David is afraid of and exhorts himself in Psalm 103. He's not blessing the Lord. Listen to what he says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He's not blessing the Lord. He is encouraging and exhorting himself to bless the Lord. Why? Because there is that tendency, there is that danger of forgetting his benefits. And because of that, just as the sons of Korah can say this, we have thought on thy loving kindness. So David, who remembers, says, O God, lest I forget, I will encourage my soul, and I will bless the Lord with all my being, and I will forget not all his benefits. And then, this is what meditation is. This is what contemplation is. It is a thinking of all the things concerning God, his person, his word, his son. All of these precious thoughts are those that go through our mind, and we speak them, we utter them, we think of them. And David says, forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And then one by one, he lists six things that God has done for him. And that is what we are to do. We are to forget not all his benefits. And so a life of contemplation is a glorious thing. We may not be like Anna, who give our lives entirely to a life of contemplation, adoration, worship, intercession. It may not be that, but at least a portion of our life should be dedicated to the contemplation of the Father and the Son and the Spirit and his Word and his loving kindnesses bestowed upon us. Let us forget not all his benefits. Let us pray. Our Father, forgive us for how little progress we've made in thy word, in becoming like thy son, in being like those great psalmists who had such experiences with thee. And forgive us, O Father, with what little experiences we've had of thy faithfulness, of not thinking about them, not meditating upon them. But we pray, our God, that this shall be developed in our soul, the ability to contemplate, to think. And then we shall look forward to that remembrance meeting, that special time when we can come and think on thee and remember thee and meditate upon thee. Let us, our Father, be faithful priests who come and show forth the excellences of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let us speak those things. Let us be like Mary bringing an alabaster box of ointment. Let us be like the one who brought a basket full and set it before God, because he was worthy. Let us be those who, while speaking to men for thee and to men about thee, let us be those who meditate, who think, who remember thee. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.